Morning, we will visit the promise of love that was born into this world in the form of a baby in a manger. I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. You may want to keep your Bible or your device handy. You'll also find this on the screen or on our Bible app. But we're going to be looking at a number of scriptures today. First, Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, and I'll be reading through verse 23. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. You know, there's a familiar depiction of this love coming into the world, and you may have one displayed in your home today. It may be on your fireplace mantle, if you have a fireplace. It may be in your lawn, on your lawn, and that is a nativity scene. What is a nativity? What does that word nativity mean? It comes from a Latin word meaning birth. A nativity scene we set out on our lawns and in our living rooms is a depiction of the God of the universe coming into the world. And of course, you have the various, in that birth scene, you have the mother, you have the earthly father of Jesus or Joseph. You have the barnyard animals, the shepherds, the angels, and all of the eyes of the nativity are fixed on the baby Jesus because it's all about his birth. And I want to encourage you today as we enter into this final, not quite a week, but these final 6 days before Christmas, just to make it all about Jesus. You know, the birth of a baby is a big deal, and there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. In the past, it was primarily women who prepared for the arrival of a little one, but you know, that has changed. Baby showers today often include men. A fairly new phenomenon is the gender reveal party. Some gender reveals are now costing, listen to this, $10,000. Tragically, there have been a number of deaths reported to gender reveal parties. Now, I've never heard of deaths at a baby shower, but there's been a number of deaths connected to gender reveal parties. Last February, two people died after an explosion or in preparation of a baby gender reveal party. During the first incident, a 26-year-old bystander died in Michigan after a small cannon device was fired during the baby shower. The cannon blew up, spraying shrapnel everywhere that struck a man and killed him. In the second instant, a New York soon-to-be father was killed when his device as well malfunctioned that he was putting together for the gender reveal party. He was 28 years old, and his brother was also hospitalized. And then a while back in Arizona, there was a fire that took place due to an explosion burning thousands of acres that was traced to a gender reveal party. Now, not all gender reveal parties are that dangerous, but there's apparently some danger involved in some of them. I mean, the worst thing that can happen at a baby shower is maybe some punch gets on the carpet or something like that. You know, we prepare for that which is new. We prepare for a new baby, and it brings great joy into the lives of both parents and grandparents and family members. And if you're a part of a church family, we all share that joy with you when you have a new one added to your home. As we continue to unpack this Christmas story and as we continue our journey through Advent, I want to share with you just some truths from these scriptures that I have referred to and shared with you already. And the first is this: we prepare for the birth of something new. And I want to expand our thinking on that one point. You see, the reason the nativity, the birth of Jesus, is so significant is not because it happened a long time ago, but because it's God's desire for each of us, for Christ to be born within us every day. And the love of God to be revealed to the world by the way in which we live. What would happen if each of us, full of expectation of what God could birth something new in us this season, began to just prepare ourselves for what all that God desires to do in our lives? You know, there's a promise given in the Old Testament that is fulfilled in this nativity scene that we're so familiar with. It's found in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel. The prophet describes a sign that would be given to God's people that he had not forgotten them in their sinful and broken state. A virgin would give birth to a child, and in him they would see the tangible love of God coming into the world to rescue them and us. The instruction given in Isaiah is to be prepared, to be ready, to make room. And we sang today about making room for him. In the New Testament accounts of the Gospels, we have two accounts of the birth of Jesus, one in Matthew and the other one in Luke. Each one gives an explanation of the way in which God came into the middle of our mess to be with us because of his love. The book of Luke captures the birth narrative and a little bit of the backstory to the nativity. It begins with an angel, Gabriel, speaking to a young teenage girl by the name of Mary. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, reads, "In the sixth year of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. A virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.'" Verse 26 says, "Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never come to an end.'" The message brought by the angel is that Mary would conceive a child within her womb, and he would be named Jesus. However, there was a problem with this. Mary is a virgin. Mary is engaged. She has not yet been married to Joseph. Imagine what it must have been like for Mary to process this angelic message. What do you mean, I am going to become pregnant? What do you mean this child will be Son of the Most High, a king who will rule over all things? You see, when God is getting ready to do something new, it almost always leads to a disruption. In a world that is broken and marked by sin, the arrival of perfect love in the person of Jesus Christ was disruptive indeed. And this brings us to the second truth I want to share with you today, and that is when God shows up, our lives are disrupted. Mary's life here is taking a turn that she could have never expected. As far as she knew, she was about to marry a nice Jewish man by the name of Joseph, when suddenly she has been chosen to give birth to the Savior of the world. What a huge disruption. This was a disruption like no other. For Joseph, your fiancé suddenly becomes pregnant and it's not your baby. How do you explain this to your family and your friends? And everything we read about Joseph is that Joseph was a good man. Joseph was a godly man. He wanted to follow what God's word said, but he also wanted to show great compassion to Mary in this state. Joseph could have said, I know Mary says an angel told her that this baby is not from another man, but how do I know that? For Joseph, this was a life-altering disruption. Think of the political power of that day. King Herod was in control of all of Israel. For this baby to come into the world and be the Son of God, the King of Kings, meant that the old kings would have to go. This would indeed be a big political disruption. Maybe this morning you're wrestling with a disruption in your life. Maybe it's a job situation, or maybe even you've lost your job. Maybe the disruption in your life is in a relationship, in a marital relationship, or someone that you have been dating, or someone that you love, a son or daughter or brother or sister, whoever that may be. But there's been a disruption in relationships in your life. Maybe this past year, these past weeks or months, you have experienced a loss and you're learning to live with that loss. But the way that you would describe it would be, this has been a big disruption in my life. Perhaps your disruption is a lack of real purpose, lack of real fulfillment. You've tried to find it someplace else, but it just hasn't happened. You know, disruptions can be God's way of bringing about something new in your life, and how you respond to such disruptions will determine the outcome. I want you to look at how Mary responded to a disruption like none of us, no other person will ever experience. In Luke chapter 1, verse 34 through verse 37, it says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month." Listen to this, verse 37. "For no word from God will ever fail." Maybe you need to highlight that in your device. Maybe you need to underline that in your Bible. I believe that application is more than just for Mary. And that is, when God gives a word, that word will never fail. You know, Mary asked a very fair question here. How will this be? Because everything the angel had spoken to her was humanly impossible. Have you ever asked God that question, maybe in the disruptions of your life? How will this be? How will I get through this? How will I make it? This brings us to the third takeaway that I want to share with you, and that is this. We all have new birth excuses. We all have new birth excuses. We all have reasons, at least we think that they are reasons, that God can't do a new work in us. As a pastor, I've heard people say, "There is no way to save my marriage. It is too far gone. There's no way God could love me. I have sinned too much. There is no way I could forgive that person because they hurt me too deeply." There's no way I could be involved in ministry because I'm just not worthy. Like Mary, we point out from a human perspective that it just doesn't make sense that God could work in us and through us. But look how the angel responded to her excuse. He said, "The Holy Spirit." That's the key, isn't it? That was the key for Mary. That is the key for you and me. It is the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The angel was basically saying this: you see, Mary, what is impossible with man is possible with God. This is not the work of mere man we're looking at here. This is the work of Almighty God. The nativity, this birth, changed the world 2,000 years ago. This birth is still changing the world today because the same Spirit of God that came upon Mary is the same Most High that can overshadow you and me today. Perhaps God wants to do something new in you. Let me challenge you to let Him, to yield to Him, to fully surrender to Him. He can transform disruptions into your life and bring something good, bring something great about because of them. I think we all need to give special attention to Mary's response to the fulfilled promise. It's found in verse 38 in Luke chapter 1. Mary simply said, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May your words to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Did Mary suddenly understand everything? Absolutely not. Was there much more that was still to be revealed to Mary? Absolutely. Mary was obedient on just a little piece of information that did not make human sense at all. Yet she submitted to God and placed herself totally in His loving hands. This brings us to the final truth I want to share with you, and that is this. When we submit to God, His promises can be fulfilled in and through us. What if this were the posture we committed to this Christmas season? How would our lives be different? You know, our submission to God has everything to do with what we perceive to be our greatest need. Author and pastor Max Lucado wrote this: "If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, He would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, He would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so He sent us a Savior." The world's greatest need is for the love and grace of God. So Mary was willing to take the disruption that giving birth to the Savior would require. You know, sometimes in Protestant circles we can be accused of de-emphasizing the role of Mary. That should never be the case. I believe that we should honor Mary. I believe that we should be inspired by her obedience to the Lord, even when she did not understand. So she took on the disruption in order that God's plan of salvation might be fulfilled. If this is a posture we choose to take this Christmas season, how might God do something new in someone else's life? You know, the message of this birth was not intended just to change Mary and Joseph's life. It was meant to usher in a brand new kingdom. This kingdom is intended to turn the world on its head, to heal the broken, and to rescue the lost. What new work might the Lord want to do in your life? And how might that mean good news to someone else? You know, when we live our life this way, it's no longer just about me and mine, but it's about us and others. And when we make our lives about us and others, something supernatural happens in both us and others. Hurts are healed and hope is restored. People get right with God. This will happen when we believe the good news of Jesus Christ is more than and his birth is more than just an historical fact, but it is a promise that affects our present lives. Our lives can be changed, and in our lives being changed, we can have an eternal impact on the lives of those around us. So may we be a people who, like Mary, are eager to say, "May your words to me be fulfilled." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this very special season of the year.